Hey, business building warrior. Thanks for hanging out with us for a few minutes on a new episode of Silent Sales Machine Radio, the podcast that talks to successful e-commerce warriors from all over the world who have a few things in common. 99.9% of our guests that we interview are people who are succeeding using the ideas from the proven Amazon course, which is the flagship Amazon seller training course in the world from our vantage point. We've got 2,000 success posts in our free Facebook group. We've got hundreds of guests we've interviewed on this show who are succeeding using those strategies. Now, a great number of the people that we interview on this show are people who are talking about the newer selling strategies. The more advanced stuff we do talk about from time to time, but we really like to encourage new sellers to get going, get rolling, get proof of concept, put some money in the bank, and grow really good businesses with multiple income streams over time. Today's guest is someone who's done that. He's been in e-commerce for quite some time. He's got a great gig that he had up until about COVID when that business fell flat. So he had to go in with both feet, jump in, brought his wife on board. They're doing it as a team now. They'd have a business that did last year about $500,000 total in sales using the replens strategies that we teach in the Proven Amazon course. They give you all the details, the types of products they sell, how they find them, how they've grown their team. They've got some virtual assistants in the Philippines. They pay a few dollars per hour, who are thrilled to work because the money spends so much better in the Philippines than it does here in the US. You got to multiply the dollars by about 8 to do the math, the conversion, so that you pay them $3 in the Philippines. That's like $24, $25 an hour of a job in the US. So they're able to get some really good help helping them online, finding their products, managing their business, and they've taken full advantage of that. He's also a coach on our team. He'll share some of that story about some of the students that he's coached with us. We're very proud of the fact that our coaching program, we talk about it a little bit on today's show, but I'll just let you know as well that every coach on our team, we have about 60 coaches, is someone who is actively building a successful business right now, based on the strategies that we teach in the Proven Amazon course. So if you want some handholding, we say this is the way to go further, faster. That's what coaching is. You may be able to get there yourself. It may take you significantly more time. You're probably going to make a handful of mistakes along the way. That's okay. You can recover from those mistakes. But if you want to go further, faster, and have someone put kind of guardrails on your business where you don't do anything really silly, make any big mistakes that set you back, that's a lot of what the value of having a great coach is. So give us a call and have a conversation with us about it. You can go to silentgym.com/bookacall to get on our calendar anytime. We'd love to talk about your business goals and see which of our programs, anything from our free stuff all the way up to our coaching programs, which one might be a good fit for you. Well, as we bring Ed on and here in just a moment, I'm going to give you another reminder. If you've been listening to our show on a regular basis, you've heard me talk about this a lot, but it's almost here. Our Proven Conference happening May 23rd through 25th of 2024. As I'm recording this episode, we're approaching about 640 to 650 people registered for that event, which is a great crowd, over 40 breakout sessions on all manner of fantastic multiple income stream e-commerce topics. You can enjoy a great keynote speaker. I want you to go watch the video he made for us and posted it on this website. This website I'm about to give you has all details on that event. Join us in Orlando if you can, May 23rd through 25th, 2024. Here's the website. You ready? Three words. Theprovenconference.com. Go check it out. Grab your tickets. Come join us. If you can't be there in person, we've got a great live stream option. We're running a sale up until the event starts, because the live stream also includes all the breakout session recordings, over 40 sessions. Go check out the list of topics we've got. It's pretty incredible this year. Our best event ever. Be a part of it if you can. Well, let's jump over and meet Mr. Ed Dassey. Again, a great leader, a great coach on our team. He's built a beautiful business with his wife. I can't wait to dive into his story just a little bit with you. You're going to really enjoy this. So Ed, welcome to the podcast. Good to see you, man.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity.
I do as well. This is probably my favorite part of my job. And as we were talking before we jumped online here, 800 plus, and it hasn't gotten old yet. It was the number of episodes we've done. You think it would get mundane, but man, I love this part of my job. And I can't wait to hear your story. Let's jump into it.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. I kind of discovered e-commerce back in 2016. maybe even 2015. I was in the computer industry. I've sold computers. I fixed computers. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a kind of a easy kind of transition. But back in 2016, when we started, we also had another business, my wife and I, and I was kind of doing this part-time. So I can tell you how to do Amazon business completely incorrectly. But we started this, I started this and took some classes, was part of another organization to educate me. And I did it very part-time. I guess I did it very sporadically. I would send some products into Amazon, I'd sell them, start over. You know, I'd go from having some inventory, dropping back down to nothing. And I did that over and over and over for about 3.5 years.
Wow. So, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I decided to get serious when my wife asked me this one little question. She said, "Hey, Ed, is this Amazon business you got? Is this a business or a hobby? Because this little business you have is costing us a lot of money and we're not making much out of it. So it seems kind of like a hobby." And then that's when everything changed. I got really serious. And this was in the middle of 2019.
Okay. So pre-COVID,
correct.
Your wife kind of challenged you a little bit. It's like, hey, I see you kind of moving stuff around over there, but you know, the numbers aren't adding up. I got you. What strategy would you say you were using at that point?
In 2016 all the way to 2019, a lot of RA. Just kind of going in stores, scanning stuff.
Were you looking for discounts and sales primarily?
I was looking for anything.
Yeah. Okay.
I kind of had the replen mindset, but I didn't know what replens was at the time. If I could buy something over and over, that would be great.
Right.
I don't care what the price was, as long as I can sell it on Amazon at a profit.
Gotcha. But were you primarily scanning barcodes, I take it?
Yep. Pretty much. Okay. Yep.
A lot of people confuse replens with that, and it's two different worlds, as you can attest to now, right?
Oh, yeah. Whole different strategy now. So in the end of, like I said, the middle of 2019, I thought the best way to do this Amazon business was to hire two virtual assistants. And, you know, that would be the magic pill. That would be the magic button to my wealth in Amazon. And I turned out to be, the only thing it turned out to be is the best motivator to get my butt into gear and actually do something with this Amazon thing. Because they were providing me leads on a regular basis for online arbitrage, because I kind of switched over then into doing everything online.
Okay.
And it was the greatest motivator, because I had to do something with all these things, and I'm paying these guys. And it was the way I learned how to really source products correctly, because I was in the past just doing profit and maybe sales rank. And that was it. Now I was looking at sales history. I was looking at, you know, drop counts and Keepa. I was looking at, you know, sales velocity, a bunch of other things that helped me realize I was not sourcing correct with just the RA thing.
Yeah. And your sourcing skills using Keepa. And I'd say I've been using Keepa a long time and my skills continue to sharpen and adapt, and there's new features and new factors that go into our decision. We get faster about making good decisions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a long journey, as you can attest to. And I love seeing students kind of attest to that journey from scanning barcodes, which I can teach you to do in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Scan the barcode. It's selling for $5 at the store. Oh, look, it's selling for $25 on Amazon. Well, let's buy a few. The rank looks decent. You can do that, but that is a hamster wheel of a business model, man. That's a treadmill model. And a lot of people think that's what we do here. And it's just not. There's so much more that goes into picking good inventory. So I love that that's part of your story, because it's another testament that there's a reason we created all this content to dive deep into what Keepa can do for you. And it's not something you can sit down and learn in half an hour. It's just not.
Yeah, no. And that's how I came into your organization, actually, is that I started finding other ways of learning, and the PAC program was a great, you know, starting point that I had most of the knowledge for, but I was really fine tuning the skills, got into some Keepa training, and then it kind of blew up. I realized I was doing things incorrectly. And now the VAs that I had, I got rid of and I went to other sourcing methods. And then now brought the VAs back when I could actually utilize their skills and start to outsource. one of the things that we do in our organization, in our business is, I like to call it an organization. That's pretty funny. I think of it as a small business, but it's an organization now. I got three virtual assistants that work for me. My wife and I both do it now full time. Our other business, let me flash back a little bit. In 2020, when COVID hit, I told you in 2019, I got serious. So I was actually way more active. I was buying more products. I was putting inventory on a regular basis. And my wife and I had another business where we were practitioners of a movement therapy, right, which we learned because we both have children with special needs ourselves from previous marriages. And we were utilizing this therapy or this treatment for our kids, and it was very successful, so much so that we decided to learn the work ourselves. And we turned it into a practice that we were doing around different countries and all throughout the states. And it was a traveling business that we had. It was very successful and working very well, again, until 2020 hit.
When travel stopped or became much more difficult.
Exactly.
Do you mind telling me a little bit more? I'm just curious. You know, we've had I caught one and a half special needs kids around here. One of them you'd never even know, and he's overcome so much. And another one with some challenges that people can pretty easily recognize. But who do you treat? How do you treat them? You know, without diverting too far into that territory. It's just a topic I think of interest to a lot of folks, myself included.
I can give you the name of the founder that started it. It's called the Anat Baniel Method, Anatbaniel method.com. You can go check it out. But it's all revolved around helping the brain learn instead of just physical therapy or occupational therapy, where it's more physically based. We're trying to utilize what the brain already has, which is brain plasticity. So our kids were learning because of the small movements we were doing with our kiddos, and they were learning how to physically be better, cognitively, you know, improve, and overall emotionally be better too. So I can give you all the results with our kids, but we've had some great results around the world for the kids that we've worked with, especially our own too. So
that's fascinating. So now that the world has drifted slightly back to normal, are you guys getting back into that, or is e-commerce now kind of taking over?
It's funny. Our Amazon business is doing so well that it's kind of replaced all of that, but we're getting requests from our families that we've worked with because we became really close with them. I mean, we are parents of children with special needs. You connect with people that are having the same challenges. So they're contacting us, and we're kind of contemplating doing some of that again because it was a very fulfilling work. You know, it's a very, you know, heartfelt work.
Well, is it anything that you've ever considered, or maybe you did this? Because it sounds like you had to travel to do the therapy, but is anything you could teach people virtually to do and kind of become a thought leader in that space? Have you considered that, or not to divert too far off the beaten path here, but I love that kind of thing. I have plenty of clients we do that type of stuff with, turn them into thought leaders and influencers in their core competency.
Yeah, there is a whole program with the owner of the company that she has to train trainers. Gotcha. And then you go through that part of it. And then, you can start to train others to do the same thing.
Yeah, I love that kind of thing as well. So that's so great. This the opportunities for multiple income streams, right? The flexibility of lifestyle. But it sounds like possibly a lot of what motivated you as well. I mean, it was for me, just, you know, my wife and I knew we wanted to have a larger family. We knew we wanted to homeschool. Throwing one and a half homeschool need kind of, you know, special challenges there. And we're like, I need to be around. I need to be home. What are my options to make decent money and be home? That's what started us down the e-commerce path. Would you say that was kind of part of your thought process?
100%. Yeah. Because I had a job where I was able to work from home. So I already had the bug from that prior to the kids. Mm-hmm. Then we had the kids, and then we found doctor's appointments, therapies, you know, all the stuff that we had to do. Plus being in the hospital, I don't know how many times.
Yeah.
My kiddos were preemies. They were 28 weekers. Wow. So we had some challenges at the beginning. Yep. So, and I had twins.
Yeah.
So it was fun times back then. So I couldn't think of going into a job like a 9-to-5 and you know, doing the typical thing.
Yeah, so, you know, you can probably relate to this, Ed. We've had people ask our family over the years, like, how do you guys do that, man? Like run a business and homeschool, and like, that just sounds like so much. I'm like, no, I don't know how other people do it. getting up at 5 a.m, getting your kids ready for the bus, going in different directions, coming home tired at night. Like that to me is fascinating. How do you do that?
I thought
with the family we had, that would not have been possible, man. You throw in a few health challenges, a few special need curveballs with appointments, and you're just like, it would be impossible.
And
the money needed to make it all happen. It's like, thank God for the e-commerce opportunity. That's my reality for 22 years at this point. Reality scares me. This one is very comfortable. I'm very confident with this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The whole reason why we do this is because of the flexibility we have. Mm-hmm. Because I can't, well, first of all, I don't think I could be unemployable anymore.
I call myself certifiably unemployable.
Exactly. So I think that it would be tough to go get a job. I wouldn't even know how to write a resume anymore. It's all probably online now.
Do they even still do that? I don't even know.
I don't even know. I
have no idea.
Probably just hook up with some service or something. But
who knows, man?
Yeah. So I'm very accustomed to this kind of lifestyle now. And that was the motivator. We got to make it work. We got to make it work for our family. We got to make it work for us. And that changed again in 2020 because of COVID. Our other income was pretty much gone. So Amazon became way, way more important to the point of really going into online arbitrage heavy. And that's what also too with our kids, we've outsourced a lot of their caregiving and therapies and you know all that kind of stuff. So it was an easy transition for me to start outsourcing some of the day-to-day tasks with our Amazon business. And we've had to train our caregivers to do what we need them to do. So it kind of went right into training virtual assistants to do what I needed them to do. So I've been very fortunate with the people that I do have, but I have gone through some employees.
Sure.
And I've had some training, you know, challenges, but it's worked out. We have one VA now that's been with me for 3 years, another one that's almost on 2 years, and another one that's about 2.5 now, I think. So yeah, I love them like family. You know, I wish I can go give them big hugs because they run a lot of our business and we've outsourced a lot of it. So
Filipinos.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. I've tried one other company one time and just didn't work out. But yeah, the Filipinos got a great work ethic and they pick up stuff. The ones I got anyway, they pick up stuff quick. Well,
Just as a general rule, you know, not to generalize, but you know, just as a general rule, the safest bet as far as a pool of talent continues to be the Philippines, in our opinion as well. There's, you know, there's Pakistan, there's other countries, there's Vietnamese, there's lots of places where the US dollar goes really far and there's people willing to work really hard online to help you grow your business. But mm-hmm. the Philippines, just culturally, your odds of finding a good one are higher. Just, you know, after having seen thousands of people hire tens of thousands of VAs, that's still where the low-hanging fruit opportunities are for finding real talent that, like you said, you fall in love with them. They become like family.
Yeah.
They're working hard while you're sleeping and you wake up to the fruits of their labor every day. It's just a beautiful thing to watch unfold. Yeah. Without diving too far in that direction, we've had other podcast episodes about that. People can go back in time and get in our Facebook group and talk more about that subject if they'd like. We certainly cover it. There's a course inside the Proven Amazon course that talks about how to hire a VA as well. So if that's something you're interested in, but I love that's how you've grown your business. Well, let's keep diving into your business, man. Go wherever you'd like to go. You're doing great. I'm loving every aspect of this. There's 100 directions we could go from here.
Yeah. So when we got real serious and the other business was tanking or going away completely because of COVID.
Travel.
That's when things even changed way more because my wife, who is really powerful, she came into the business and just created some systems and some organization that this brain doesn't know how to accomplish. I'm a good pink finger pointer, but she's a great utilizer. You'll probably never see her on the camera. She's not one of those kind of people, but you saw her live at the couple of events that we were at. But she loves doing the behind the scenes work and she does fantastic at it. And that's when our business really took off. You know, we can talk about numbers in a bit, but just from where we started, you know, the first 3.5 years, barely even, you know, again, a hobby to where we really made it a serious business after the first year. the first real year, and then the second year it doubled. And now, you know, we're going to see what we can do as we go forward. We got some lofty goals, and we're incorporating different other income sources as well with the Amazon opportunity. So,
and it's fascinating to me too, Ed, just as a little side, I'm always making these observations. I'm kind of, you know, I've been putting this puzzle together in my mind for a couple decades now. This is new territory. This is the Wild West of business. Historically, e-commerce is only 20, 25 years old, you know, as a concept of like, hey, you could actually make a living from home doing this. Like, that's nothing on the grand scale of history where most business models have lasted for, you know, centuries. Mm-hmm. Here's this little 25-year-old concept that is a biggest paradigm shift, arguably, in business history. But something that's emerging, that's becoming clearer to me all the time. I used to be of the mind that if you're smart and motivated, you can kind of do this yourself. I dropped that kind of thinking, and I'm getting more and more inclined that if you don't have a partner, ideally it's a spouse that balances you, and they don't have to be intimately involved in the day-to-day, but they've got to be involved in supporting role. You can't do this alone. Yeah, so you just said, you know, I love how God places together sometimes opposites. You know, she's got the mechanical, fine being behind the scenes, engineering type brain, you know, and you're more of the like, hey, you do this, delegator kind of, and dreamer type almost, right? And like those two just fit together so nicely. And you guys didn't know that when you got married, but nope. It's like, whoa, look at this. We synergize beautifully. And the businesses that last, I'm just noticing over and over and over, either through connections, mastermind groups, you know, growing their own team, a spouse, you can't do it yourself. You're missing out on so much. The synergy effect is the cleanest way I could describe it. You know, 1 + 1 = 5. It's just how it happens. It's the miracle of God, but it happens so much.
You got to lean into
that out.
You got to lean into the community, because when I didn't have her at the beginning, I was leaning into the community for sure, because I couldn't do it alone. I needed to bounce things off of somebody. I needed questions answered. I needed to celebrate the little achievements, right? And then when I brought her in, or when she came into it, by the way, I got to clarify, I'm not the finger pointer of her, okay?
Oh, of course not. No wise man is.
She does a great job making me think I'm the boss. When she sees this, she'll be like, what's this finger pointing thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, we all know how that plays out. Yeah,
exactly. So, but yeah, it's a fantastic relationship that we have. We are constantly bouncing things off of each other. We go out to dinner, and it inevitably happens that we're talking about some business stuff. So, I mean, it's become a part of our life, and we know that we got to make this work, because this is what we love to do. We love to be around our kids. We love to raise them. We love to be able to take them to the therapist, the doctors, whatever we need to do at any given moment. We love creating our own schedule. We love sleeping in, Jim.
I do too. What time zone are you in?
We're in Arizona, so currently okay. The Pacific time.
Pacific currently.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we tell people all the time we live on Pacific time. I'm on the East time zone.
Okay.
And people are like, you guys have such a weird schedule. Like, describe it to me. Like, basically, we're on Pacific time, right? Mm-hmm. Where everyone else is getting up at 5, 6 in the morning, we're getting up at 9, 10 in the morning. Everyone else is going to bed at 8 or 9 or 10. We're going to bed at 10, 11 midnight. Exactly. It's just like, we live on Pacific time. We eat at restaurants after everybody else has already cleared out. We go to the zoo after all the field trips have already cleared out for the day.
Nice.
It's just like, we live on a completely different schedule because we can. I say the only thing that our alarm clock is set that's the same every week is being at church on time for second service. Other than that, man, it's just like, flexible schedule. And yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of, if I need more sleep, I'm going to get more sleep the next day. I leave my mornings open for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I mean, as you know, no doubt about it. We work our tails off, right?
100%.
It's around our own schedule, right?
That's right.
If you got something important, church, like you said, that's number one, you know, whatever else for the kids, you know, that's priority. But then, you know, we can figure out when we can put the work in. I mean,
yeah,
I don't sporadically work. I will say that, but
right.
I work hard.
Well, I call it disciplined distractibility is a phrase I came up with a long time ago, meaning if nothing distracts me today, I got a lot to do and I'm going to hit it hard. But if the phone rings in the middle of a podcast and it's something that my wife needs from me, I reschedule my time with Ed and we record this episode later. None of it is stuff that must be done today. None of it is urgent and important. Mm-hmm. Because I've scheduled my life with enough flexibility. I'm doing important work all the time, but I don't allow it to get to the point where it has to be done today. Mm-hmm. Never. So then I've got complete flexibility in my schedule, right? I think that's what we're describing. And that's the phrase I came up with a while back. It's like discipline to distractibility, meaning I'm not so nose to the grindstone that I miss the opportunities flying right over my head. The opportunities to spend a great day with my family because it's beautiful outside, or the opportunities to hop on the phone for an hour with someone who's got a great wholesale deal from the community and they're desperate to find a partner to work with, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you got to have that those windows that you can open anytime and let opportunity in. And it's just such a blessing to contrast this to, it's been over 20 years, but the old corporate lifestyle, be mm-hmm. here by 9 a.m. You can't leave till 5, even if there's no work to do and nothing meaningful happens that day. You must be in this office.
I've done it. I've done it. I used to take a train for an hour when I used to live in Chicago. I would go from the suburbs to Chicago an hour in the winter, mm-hmm. never again. So yeah, I'll take this lifestyle a whole lot better.
And speaking of long train rides, I, for some reason, I'm in the mood to bounce around a little bit today. We'll get back to the numbers and your story, what you're selling, how you find it, all that good Amazon content in a minute. But I'm reminded of a virtual assistant I heard describing their reality before they were hired by someone in our community. They had a 3+ hour commute to a job where they earned $2 per hour.
Wow.
And then a 3+ hour commute home in the evenings with a family.
Hmm.
And someone in our community hired them for $4 or $5 an hour, doubled plus some their income. And the money goes so far for those who aren't aware. In the Philippines, the US dollar, you got to multiply it by like 8 to figure out your numbers. So he went from earning like 15, 16 bucks an hour to earning $40 an hour, getting to work from home, sleep in, work a flexible schedule, right? Like, we have a big impact on the people that we are able to bring into our business because of the kind of work that we do and the global aspect of it. I love that. Yeah. So put your hour commute to shame, man. I was like, and there was like a bike ride and a bus and then a train or something. It was nuts what this guy had to do.
Wow.
To go to a $2 an hour job.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, the lifestyle that we're giving our employees. You know, I can tell you one of our employees, he is able to be home with his kiddo as he's raising him, where he was a nurse and he would have to be gone from the house all day.
Yeah.
Especially during the COVID times, that was a bad place to be. So mm-hmm. he's got an opportunity to make good money and be at home with his kiddo and, you know, raise his family. So it's pretty, I really take that to heart because when we can flash back a little bit of last year when Amazon was challenging us with some things and we almost had to let them go, but I kept them employed even though they couldn't do some of the tasks that I normally have them do. And I think that was probably the best thing I could do for them and for us because they have loyalty to us now. So
yeah, they understand the mission, the vision, the purpose of what you're building, and they love, trust, and respect you guys. Yeah, and that's I just love business owners, entrepreneurs. You know, one of the most grating things I ever hear asked of entrepreneurs and people who succeed is, "Hey, how are you going to give back?" That tells me the person asking that question has absolutely no idea what goes into building a successful business. You are giving generously, taking massive risks all day, every day.
Yep.
Right. And at the point you succeed, everyone notices and like, "Oh, how are you going to give back?" It's like, you don't know. I've been given every day, all day. Mm-hmm. And the rewards are starting to show. And mm-hmm. how I spend my money is none of your business. But I've yet to meet a successful entrepreneur who isn't ridiculously generous, because that's how you grow relationships. That's how you expand your network. That's how you feel like, okay, there's a purpose bigger than me behind all of this. That's the kind of people that win in business. You know, there's occasional exceptions, but the vast majority of successful people I've ever met are just givers constantly and expanding the network of people and taking care of the people, given the opportunity, taking care of the good people that help them build what they've built. Mm-hmm. That's how you succeed. Yeah, I love this topic, man. Well done. I love that you held on to those folks while you were going through a rough window of time. Maybe we can dive into that as a little bit as well, you know, because Amazon's not all sunshine and rainbows and happy, happy every day. You know, there's always a little something to fight. There's always a battle, right? You've got to be pivoting constantly. We never represented as anything but that. but we've sure got a lot of people who are doing really well with it, you included. So let's dive maybe in that direction a little bit. Tell us a little bit more about your business. What are you selling? What are you sourcing? Give us some numbers.
Yeah, well, we do all, I would say 99% online arbitrage right now.
Okay.
And just recently we got into branded bundles, and I even decided to do some of the influencer program as well. Cool. So I'm kind of diversifying this year because we've done online arbitrage for the whole time that I've been doing it. Well, since 2019, until today. And, it's the best way that I found that I can outsource some of this stuff and get my time back. Using online arbitrage has allowed us to not have to do some of the sourcing stuff, some of the purchasing stuff, some of the day-to-day stuff that has to happen, admin stuff, even email stuff. I have all that stuff outsourced. So we have probably 80% of everything that we do throughout the day is outsourced. You know, I don't think I've even sourced a product in 2+ years myself.
That's tremendous.
Now I'm good at it. I definitely know how to read the charts and everything. And I know all the latest and greatest tools.
You got to stay sharp there.
Yep.
So I'm guessing one of the roles on that little 20% piece of the pie that you still control is staying sharp on new strategies, educating yourself and saying, okay, team, I found something. I want you to start looking for ASINs that look like this. And you train them, right? Is that, would you say the bulk of that 20% you hold on to?
Yeah. Or learning new sourcing skills to eventually pass that on to them. Yep. You introduced the bot sourcing last year, I think it was. And
bot sourcing. It's in the Proven Amazon course now. You went through that. That's right.
Yep. Did that. And we've done several Keepa courses so that we learn not just the basic chart reading, but how to use the product finder. We're constantly listening to Brian and Robin, talk about Keepa. So, we're implementing these things one at a time because I'm still staying in tune with what the latest and greatest, sourcing methods are. So that keeps them always on their toes too. I don't want them getting complacent.
You said, I love the 80-20% thing that you shared. I don't want to drift too far away, or I'm afraid I'll forget. What else is in that 20% piece of the pie that you feel like you
If we can figure out how to get rid of returns, and I know what you might say, but we've tried some, outsourcing of that.
Yeah.
It's pricey, but that's still one thing we still have.
Yeah.
Just recently.
Listing, flipping them on eBay yourself then, you're saying?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we're doing that. One other thing that we did have outsourced was accounting, all the number stuff, the bookkeeping. My wife took that back on just recently because it was just costing a bunch of money. And I think we could do that ourselves very easily. So, and she's a good number cruncher and bookkeeper, which we didn't even know, but now she does. And she does great at
it. Out. That's great. Yep.
So we took that kind of stuff back, which is not a day-to-day thing, but it's a weekly thing. So
yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Hey, we'll get back to the show in just a moment, but I want to tell you about a way to save a nice chunk of change on all your online shopping and in-store shopping by using discounted gift cards. We've got a new sponsor on the program with a free report they want to give you, no strings attached. Go to silentgym.com/gift cards. That's silentgym.com/gift cards, one word. It's in the show notes as well, that link. What they do is they put together a report that shows you all the places you can go to get great discounted gift cards. And they also offer the service themselves, selling gift cards to many online sellers, our community included. So it's a pleasure to bring them on board as a sponsor. Again, the link one more time, silentgym.com/gift cards for that free special report. Let's get back to the show.
So we took that kind of stuff back, which is not a day-to-day thing, but it's a weekly thing. So
yeah, fair enough. Because I'm fond of saying that this business is such that, when I start talking about multiple income streams, which has been a theme for me for a couple of decades, one of the mantras is if it's something that someone else could be doing, give it to them. Right? Only do the things that only you can do. Mm-hmm. And where you bump up against the edges of that is where it makes a whole lot more economic sense for me to do it right now than anyone else. Like you mentioned, the returns. It's like, we could give that to someone else, but we're making $100 a month instead of making $3,000 a month. Like, I think I'm going to keep that till I figure out how to hand that to someone else and still make some good money, right? Bookkeeping, we're paying a lot, but then you get the maybe a VA trained, right? Someone, if you can train someone $4 or $5 an hour to do these different parts, and even like with the eBay listings, it could be reduced down to you just taking the picture. Mm-hmm. They set up the listing, right? they do the whatever the grunt work is, you can get someone else doing it. So you're left with a pretty small list of things that you have to do. And I know you know these things. I'm more talking to the listener today, but that's how you grow multiple income streams. That's what giving you the time. You mentioned you're getting to the influencer course, provenazinfluencer.com, creating videos, throwing them out there, getting paid by Amazon to make videos, talking about products. Like, you've got the time to do that now. It's the point.
Yes.
Of right.
Yeah. If I didn't outsource all this stuff, I wouldn't have the time to do some of these other things. So I look at our online arbitrage business as a time, all the outsourcing we do, I look at it as bringing our time back to us. Mm-hmm. So if I can take some task, train somebody on it and do that over and over, I mean, they probably do. My three VAs probably do. Well, I told you they do 80% of everything in our online arbitrage business. And I would give them more if I could, if I had some things that didn't have to physically be touched.
Right.
At home. So, yeah, I mean, we use a prep center as well. So we're outsourcing all the shipping stuff as much as we can. But I do have some of that here too. Certain things that can't be sent to a prep center. But yeah, we try.
What's on that list that can't be sent? I'm curious, just to hopefully learn something.
Certain brands that we've tried ordering and having them sent to the prep center, and the prep center is a industrial location, so they won't allow us to send stuff
there. They want to send to residential only.
Correct.
Gotcha. That makes total sense.
It kind of lets them know that we're not a, you know, end user, a personal purchase. This is I'm buying 10 of these or 20 of these.
Yeah.
They know we're resellers there. So we just got to watch out what stuff we send to the prep center.
Sure.
We've had a couple brands that have, eliminated us from sending there because we were sending it to a business address. So,
right. That makes total sense. Yeah. I'm always mm-hmm. curious to see where those lines are. People who use a prep center, but still hold on to some of it. What are you holding on to? A lot of times they'll hold on to the heavier stuff too. Mm-hmm. And ship it merchant fulfill, for example.
Correct. Yeah.
There's a guy in our community that does like anything that weighs over X number of pounds. He just takes it to his own house and waits for it to sell merchant fulfill rather mm-hmm. than putting it through a prep center.
Yeah.
Risking Amazon losing a unit or, is pricier Amazon stuff. Sometimes you'll see them do that too. I want to keep it under their control. Yeah. Good mm-hmm. line in the sand. All right. Well, tell us more. How are you sourcing your ASINs? What are you selling primarily category wise? Take us into your business a little bit.
So I think most of our business is beauty and healthcare type stuff. I know we do everything though. Tools, toys, geez, clothing, shoes.
Doing some clothing, shoes. Teach me about shoes. How much shoes have you done?
We do a lot of shoes.
Okay, yeah. We haven't done much shoes. And correct me if I'm wrong. Just here's a couple of general rules I've heard, but educate me, okay? Because I know some serious shoe sellers, and these are some conclusions I've heard from them. I don't do much shoes. I did a long time ago, but we don't much now. Like women's shoes, far more returns than men's. Mm-hmm. And the sizes, you went like the average sizes. Do you play with the average or do you get off under the long tail sizes, like size 14 men's and stuff?
We look at the variations and what's producing, what's actually got some sales velocity based on ratings and reviews and that. And if we see that it's got a chance, then we're gonna
just
buy
like
it
any other ASIN.
Yeah, just like any other ASIN.
You're reading the Keepa chart like it was any other widget.
Well, I'm not reading the Keepa chart like I would a singular product because I can't really rely on the ranking, the sales rank. But we look at sales velocity by maybe the seller counts alternating, the buy boxes kind of jumping up and down. That shows us that there's some kind of activity on that thing. If I just see flat lines in the buy box and the seller count, then I know it's not really doing much.
It's dead. Yeah.
And then of course the ratings and the reviews on that specific ASIN, those tell me a little bit when they're not grouped together all in one, but mm-hmm. if they're separated for the rating for that ASIN has got some, ratings and reviews, then I know in order to get one review, you got to have a bunch of purchases, right?
That's 100 sales typically is what we
exactly say. So I know that if we got, 100 reviews, that thing's got some velocity of some sort. I don't know how many, but we test, right? We'll send in a few of them and test it and then go from there. So
any particular brands that you're most excited about, or is it, is just,
well, we're big Nike guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Just like many others, we're Nike is
what percentage of your business would you say overall is Nike? Since you said you're heavy in shoes, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I would say maybe 20 to 30%.
Wow. Okay. That's a bigger piece than I was expecting.
It's a pretty good chunk. I didn't think it was that huge, but.
So that's why you got the returns. Now I'm connecting the dots. Yeah. Those shoe sellers, man, they got their death pile of shoes. You always got some good shoes laying around though, when it's time for a new pair, don't you?
Yeah. My wife's got a couple new pairs every time, you know.
That's right. Like, hey, that just happens to be my size. And look, it didn't sell. Darn.
The size 14, not so much, but.
right. Sure.
But that's cool. You know, surprisingly, the shoes hasn't been terrible. It does have its returns, but most of them get put back right back into stock. So
sure,
it's the ones that come back, you know, they've been used for 3 months and we're like, okay, really?
Yeah. Seriously, but, people. Yeah. We're not Zappos. Okay.
Exactly. So yeah, but, so, you know, we built our business, all OA, and we've utilized VAs. I had up to 5 VAs at one point. And I think I told you a little bit about this, but we got complacent. We did 230,000 in our first year in sales, and our first real year, I call it, back in 2020.
2020 was your first real year after your
first real year.
You like, is this a hobby or is it like, all right, no longer a hobby.
Exactly. So from, and prior to that, I think the best year we had was like 20 to 30,000.
Those huge 10x jump.
Yeah, just stupid. It was, you know, it was like, why didn't I start this back in 2016?
She needs to write a motivational book, how to 10x your husband with one simple question.
Exactly. She continues to do that. Trust me. So the first year we got serious, I did that. And I was pretty much, you know, doing a lot of it myself. She had just started helping me organize stuff. Then the second year she got, like, we were doing it, you know, she had her skill set and I had mine, and we were jamming it. We did 460 the second year.
Nice. So we
doubled our business.
That's awesome.
And then I got complacent. I had VAs doing a lot of work. I thought that was just going to continue to grow. I thought I'd hire more VAs. This is the business learning lessons, right? I did some things that probably weren't the best choices. But we did start sourcing better quality products, higher dollar items. And we did 430 the third year, our third real year in business. But I think we made more profit because of the choices that we were making in the products that we were buying. So, but I got complacent in the growth. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, this thing's just going to keep growing, right? We just keep doing the same thing. Well, no, I had to still stay educated on new sourcing methods. And, you know, the environment changed a little bit. Of course, Amazon always throws something at us. So this, so that takes us to this year, right? Yeah, because I don't think.
Yeah, well, 2023.
Oh, no, that last year. So last year we got back into action, and actually it wasn't until like mid last year where I was like, all right, I got to get back into action. And it was good because it was last year, February, I came over to Jim Cockrum's group, your group. And I wanted to get some coaching. I'll tell you this story if I haven't told you yet, but I wanted to come and get some coaching, and your coach, Matt Thompson, the admin guy or the manager, what's his title?
Director. I don't know. Yeah.
Director. Sorry, yeah. Matt.
No worries.
He said, you're going to be a coach. Based on what you're saying, you're going to be a coach. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll come over that way. So it's been the greatest thing, because I was already coaching in the organization I was at. I was coaching new sellers, and that's kind of what I do now. So it's been a great, I really didn't want to lose that, but I wanted to come over to a group where I was going to get some motivation. I was going to get some inspiration, and that's what your group has always done. I've always listened to your podcast, but I never could kind of dip my toe into any of the extra stuff. So it's worked out great. So since February last year, we were with you guys, you know, doing the coaching and really getting motivated again. So I really got back into massive action at the middle of the year, And then Section 3 hit in the end of the year, the Q4 thing, debacle, shut us down for a little bit.
A lot of people selling what's the category? Makeup and cosmetics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got ours hit particularly hard. And pretty much, you know, anyone who was doing bulk cosmetics, mm-hmm. Amazon challenged them. And some of them were done with it in a day or two, and others it took a couple months. Mm-hmm. Right? We heard a lot of those stories. Yeah. Did you lose any of your good ASINs as a result of that?
No, actually, we only made one mistake on one item. It was listed as a brand-brand. So like name-name, and it's the real brand is all just one word.
And that little dash threw you on the you know, exactly. Most people learn to recognize the word generic, but if the brand is misspelled or misrepresented in any way, that can be an ASIN that's doomed as well, right? As we've learned over the years. Yeah, that's why getting training and not just flying by instinct is so important with this business model. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so how long did that keep you guys down? It was an extended suspension.
Six weeks. It hit us. Thankfully, it hit us October 30th because we had most of our Q4 stuff in. So as an Amazon seller, I've learned start August, September, get that stuff in through October. We're hitting it heavy, and we were going to continue all the way through November, but then October 30th, they pretty much said no more sending stuff in, and they weren't paying us, so mm-hmm. we had to wait till we got everything fixed up. Took us 6 weeks, and we still did 510, just over 510 for the
beautiful
year.
Beautiful. 510 in 2023, in spite of 6 week.
At Q4. Yeah.
right during Q4. Thank you, Amazon.
Good time.
Yeah. Well, that's when it seems like every year, you know, politics has its November surprise. Amazon has its October, November surprise. You know, it's just I think in politics is the October. Yeah, because the elections are in November. So kind of like with Amazon and politics, October, they're going to surprise you with something.
Yep.
And the industry is going to go, oh no, what just happened? And then it's all going to be okay. I mean, I've seen it like 9 years in a row now.
Yeah.
1 year it was no new sellers are allowed to sign up. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, oh no, I was just getting ready to get started. I guess I can never sell on Amazon now. They don't want sellers. They're trying to get rid of us. They're trying to kill us all, right? Those are the rumors. And like, no, they were just really busy and understaffed. And now they're ramping back up again. So every year it's kind of one of the, you know, you never know what the story is going to be, but something's going to send this ripple wave of nervous energy through the seller community. And then it's all going to be fine. You know,
all right. It weeds out the weak, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be a warrior, right?
That's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why I refer to e-commerce business builders as warriors, business building warriors. Open up every podcast episode with that phrase. Yeah. But it's true in anything worth having in life. It's not unique to being an Amazon seller. Anything worth having in life. Blood, sweat, tears, risk, work, sacrifice required. Yep. Right? No exceptions here. There's no easy button. But yeah, well done, man. I love your attitude that you came through it. You're not bitter and shaking your fist at the sky. You know, it's like, hey, these things happen. We pivoted and we sent Amazon what they needed. And as with 99% of everyone else, back in action. We do leave ourselves scratching our heads sometimes when Amazon does these things. But with persistence, I've seen literally everyone who's faced these kind of issues come back, unless they were doing something so ridiculously illegal that, you know, state laws had to get involved.
Right.
I was like, wait, you're selling counterfeit on purpose? You're buying crates of Nike from China? What? Wait, what are you doing? Yeah.
Well, and part of my education is, you know, you have Jeff Schick that comes on your podcast often.
Exactly. Yeah.
He just gives little golden nuggets every once in a while to keep an eye on.
Recorded three more with him last week. We're going to be dropping out here. Yeah. Such good stuff. Cause he sees what sellers are facing and talks through those policy and legal challenges. Yeah. Some good stuff coming. But yeah, thanks for giving me a shout out. Great sponsor of this show too. We'll stick a link in the show notes to Jeff, write myself a note to remind, because I'd say the vast majority of leaders in our community on our content creation team, coaches, et cetera, we're using Jeff's services. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But well, you know, we didn't hit you. So you gave us some great numbers. You gave us 230, 460, 435, 10. But you haven't talked margins yet. And this is your primary income now, is it not? Or do you still have a full-time other?
We did have another income source, but this is becoming our primary income. Yes.
Gotcha. So, besides the therapy treatment.
Yes, yes, right. We did. Okay. So we, if you want to talk margins, we're typical OA sellers, anywhere from 8, 9, 10%. I think I just looked at my numbers for this month. We're like 10.33. So right on track.
Yep.
For the norm. So yeah, we enjoy that. We'll enjoy that. That's better than an investment in some cases.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a great business with a lot of other benefits as well that go into it. Like, do you guys use points on your inventory purchases by any chance?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, becoming a little, I heard of another guy that was at the last conference I was at, but I'm becoming a little travel hacker, you know, figuring out the points game and stuff. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoy that. That's going to be a kind of a nice little, I think it's just maximizing what you're getting from Amazon. You know, we're buying all this product. We're getting all these points on credit cards. Now we're going to figure out how to use them wisely. And
there's people in our community with millions of points. They can literally go anywhere, anytime for free, stay in nice hotels, fly in the best private jets, or not private jets, best first class seats. You know, they can just go anywhere, anytime, stay anywhere, and just never burn through their points. Mm-hmm. I was talking to one guy at a recent meetup, and he just, anytime someone on his team gets married, he sends them wherever they want to go on their honeymoon and pays for it with points.
That's awesome.
It's one of the sellers in our community, because you start buying a lot of inventory. That's a lot of credit card points that are stacking up quick. You know, $500,000 in inventory. Yeah, there's a lot of points in there. You know, I know we got a lot of Dave Ramsey fans. Oh, never use credit cards. It's like, hey, I'll take all that 2-5% of free money back all day, every day, man. Yeah, for sure. And all the benefits.
It's using it wisely. You know, you can't be stupid with it. You got to use it wisely. And we've done a great, you know, we have a system, just rotation, just utilizing somebody else's money and mm-hmm. rotating it, paying it off every month mm-hmm. and doing the same thing, but watching those points go.
Yep.
So.
Yep. You still get the points. Even if you paid off the card on time, you still got the points, man.
Exactly.
That's right. So free fuel and all kinds of discounts. Like every store we go to, I'm always getting some kind of bonus offers and such. Yeah. Because we're buying a lot of stuff.
Yeah. We also utilize what you guys have taught in many cases, you know, not just credit cards, but rebates and, you know, coupon codes. We use all that stuff to maximize our every purchase.
Yeah.
So
a lot of benefits.
Yeah. Cause once you get the rebate points too, or the rebate dollars, I mean, you can buy Amazon gift cards, you can buy other, you know, place gift cards. So
discounted gift cards, even. Have you ever used those?
Yep. Yeah. Those too.
All right. Arbitrage Card, a great sponsor of our show. They'll be at our conference as well. What's that? I think it's silentgym.com/cards or gift cards. One of the two. silentgym.com/gift cards, I think is the abbreviation. Great free book. It talks about that topic of making sure you're maxing out, you know, cause you buy Nikes. Well, if you buy $1,000 with the Nike gift cards, you can do it for like $900 or $950. You save yourself $50 of margin right there. You can get yourself $1,000 for $950, basically. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're buying the gift cards, the discounted gift cards. So yeah, lots of opportunity there. Have you done that with Nike specifically?
No. You know, and
that's one of his specialties, the arbitrage.
Boom, another thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, you can't buy like $100 at a time. I think you have to buy like $1,000 worth. But if you do, it's significant, you know, 5-10%.
Yep.
You spend $900 for $1,000 with the gift cards, then, and they're legit. They, you know, the Arbitrage Card is very legit, very good reputation in our community. I know some of the big shoe sellers use him in bulk.
Okay.
Something to look into.
Yeah, for sure.
So what else do you want to share from your story? You had a great bio and we've covered a lot of great territory today. I think that we've encouraged a lot of folks, inspired some people to maybe take the next step on their business journey. And thank you for being a great coach on our team. How many students have you coached with us at this point?
I think I have around 20 to 25. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause with 60 coaches, we're able to spread them out pretty good. And, mm-hmm. and like we always say, if you come into our coaching program, you're going to be working with someone who's doing this business at a high level. You're not just getting a script reader or someone to help you go through a workbook that we printed 8 years ago. These are people doing it right now at scale, helping you through the journey. So you're just another great example of that. So I appreciate you, your contributions there. And that's the one part of my business as we've scaled, you know, I have time to spend time with the leaders and the coaching group leaders, you know, you mentioned Brian and Robin Joy Olson as an example, right? Like I spend more of my time with them, the actual coaches in many cases, like I'm getting to know you today, right along with a lot of people in the community. I mean, I knew the name, obviously, knew you've done some coaching with us, but you and I really, we haven't talked a whole lot over the years.
I think I've talked to you more when I met you personally than anything like this.
Yes, right, exactly. Awesome. Yeah. And those events are always such a blur, you know, the conference. Yeah, are you coming to Orlando? I think you said you were.
Yep, that's the plan.
Yeah.
As long as we can make it work. We got a conflict, but we're trying to work it out. So
okay. We'd love to see you there. And I think with the timing of this episode, you'll have some people looking for you in Orlando. For the listener's sake, we're talking about the Proven Conference, May 23rd to 25th. The website is three words, theprovenconference.com. Go check it out. So yeah, Ed, hoping to be there, but we'll have dozens of our coaches there. And we're about 600 and I checked this morning, we're about 640 people registered. So it's going to be a good size group, good event, 40 breakout sessions. Really looking forward to it. I hope you can make it. Hope that conflict works out, man, but certainly understand.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I'd love to meet those kids. How old are they?
I have two 20-year-olds and almost 18-year-olds.
Well, they're not little kids anymore. Sounds like mine. I call them kids still, but they're married.
And oh, yeah.
Kids and
my boy will always be my kid.
Yeah, exactly.
My little kid.
Yep. Well, anything else on your mind that we didn't cover today? I always like to make sure that the guest has a chance. If there's anything else that they were hoping to cover, that we give them the opportunity at the end of the episode.
Well, I just think that it's a great opportunity. And, you know, I wish I would have, I guess I'll tell this to anybody that's just looking at it, because I wish I would have started, you know, consistency right off the bat. And, you know, if you do anything consistent for a little while, you know, something's going to come out of it. Either you're going to learn for sure this is not for you, or you're going to learn for sure this is the right path. I need to get going on this thing. I played with it for 3.5 years. And I don't even know why I stuck around, quite honestly. I had every excuse to quit. And I probably made every excuse in my head to give it up and go do something else. But I just knew that there was something here. And now I'm finding out what that is as we go further here. I can totally see sky's the limit now. And this is after being 4 years into this thing of really doing it. So plenty of opportunity.
Yeah,
just do it.
I completely agree. Yeah, good word. Yeah, the flexibility of it and the foundation that it lays are two of the best parts of this business. Sometimes people ask us, like, why do you talk about Amazon replens so much? Like, that's the default low-hanging fruit business opportunity of our time, in my opinion. If it was something else, we'd talk about that. I'm not saying it's the only way to make money online. I'm saying it's the lowest risk, lowest learning curve, most established system that we have to offer, where you say, hey, if you put in the work, odds are you're going to build something here. And there's no huge jumping off point where you have to take a huge risk and hope it works out later. It's a slow wade into opportunity. But once that foundation's laid and you start to experience the flexibility of e-commerce and online income, and you can tack other things onto it through relationships, other income streams, other opportunities. You guys do anything with Walmart, for example, yet? You played with
it? No. I mean, yeah, just learned about some of that just recently. And I'm like, I mean, we've actually have an account set up with them. It's just like, good. That's another thing you can add on to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to do better than your eBay, I would venture to say. Almost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Walmart, from my vantage point as a reseller, Walmart has passed up eBay pretty confidently. I can make that statement. They're number two now.
Okay.
So as a general rule, I mean, don't take this like as across all products, but as a general rule, if you're selling 10 a month on Amazon, you're going to sell 2 or 3 a month on Walmart. You're going to sell 1 a month on eBay. That's kind of what we're noticing. So ignore Walmart at your own peril. And the way we're kind of stumbling into it as a community, we've got some great courses and content and tools coming is based on the stuff we've learned. But the stuff that comes back that for whatever reason we couldn't sell on Amazon, we're like, hey, let's throw it on Walmart and see what happens. And lo and behold, some of it takes off and that particular product's on Walmart surpasses what we were doing on Amazon. And suddenly, without trying, our Walmart numbers are getting really big. I've been sharing this story recently. My son comes home from our warehouse some days. He's like, Dad, I had to ship 50 things for Walmart today. Like, we got to build a better system. It's exploding. I'm like, all right, we'll figure that out. Because we haven't tried, but just that extra stuff laying around, like, all right, try Walmart. Boom, there it goes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're very excited. But that's just another example of, you know, the flexibility. Once you've got that foundation, mm-hmm. flexible opportunities you have to add other income streams into this. And you talked about getting into branded bundles. Mm-hmm. Brilliant idea. The podcast episode that dropped today is someone who sells about 100 units or so a day or more of their private label, their branded bundle.
Okay.
It came through our community. So they didn't have to invent their own, you know, new best-selling product. They just bundled stuff that already existed together with their own branded item. And it's exploding and it's surpassing their replens business at this point.
Wow.
So you're in a position to do that, as are the listeners as well. But man, I love your tenacity. I love the relationship that you shared with us with your wife and how you guys have done this together. I think that's going to resonate with a lot of folks. And just appreciate having you on the team, Ed. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate it too. Thank you.
Well, really looking forward to seeing you guys in Orlando. Make it happen if you can, buddy. But if not, I'm sure we'll talk again soon. But let me talk to the listeners for just a moment. Mm-hmm. For those of you who maybe this was the first episode you're listening to our show today, I need to make sure that you realize we have hundreds of episodes like this where we interview the successful students from our community who have built great businesses using the strategies and ideas from the Proven Amazon course. And if you want to hang out with us and see, I think we got about 2,000 testimonials at this point in our free Facebook group. There's a link at silentgym.com. Go check that out. Or if you want to get a free copy of the book that launched this community, it's been updated about a year ago. And it's the stories of people in this community, some ideas to get you started into e-commerce, what our best recommendations are, keeping you out of some dangerous territories. You can get that book completely free, silentgym.com/free11, because it's version 11. So free 11, two digits, that'll get you a free copy of that book. And we'd love to help you understand a little bit more about what we're all about today. But on behalf of the whole community that puts this podcast episode together, there's a bunch of us that contribute. Our great guest today, Ed, one more time, say thank you to your wife for us, would you, for loaning you to us for a little bit today.
Thank you, Carla.
Exactly. And come to Orlando, Carla.
Yes.
Love to see you in person. Yes, the woman behind the man. There's always a great one, right?
Yes.
So, and the whole team that makes this thing happen, thanks for being a part of our community. God bless you, business building warrior. We'll have another great episode for you very soon. Talk to you then. Hey, before I let you go, one last reminder about an easy way to save money on every purchase you make online or in stores by using discounted gift cards. There's a free special report that's been set up by our latest sponsor, Arbitrage Card. You can get this report, tells you how to go find these great discounted cards. Go to silentgym.com/gift cards. That's silentgym.com/gift cards, all one word. The link is in the show notes as well. Go grab that report.
Thank you for listening to Silent Sales Machine Radio. Visit silentgym.com for a link to our free newsletter, our free Facebook group, and all of our resources mentioned on today's show.